inshallah we continue now the subject of the book, the correct response for those who altered the religion of Jesus by Shaykh al-Islam ibn Taymiyyah rahimahullah. And we reached the point where Shaykh al-Islam, may Allah's mercy be upon him, said, the point that Shaykh al-Islam was making in his introduction, was that from the greatest reasons for the ascendance of Iman and prevalence of faith and religion, and from the clarity concerning the news brought forth by the messengers, is the appearance of those who deny or oppose such matters. Meaning the appearance of the opponents is from the greatest causes that lead to the ascendancy of faith and prevalence. يقول الله عز وجل, الله سبحانه وتعالى states, وكذلك جعلنا لكل نبي عدوا شياطين الإنس والجن يوحي بعضهم إلى بعض زخرف القول غرورا. As in Surah Al-An'am chapter 6 verse 112, and so this is the point that Shaykh al-Islam is taking the evidence from the Quran for it, and so we have appointed for every prophet enemies like whom? Shayateen, devils, among mankind and jinns, inspiring one another with adorned speech as a delusion or by way of deception. This is the point. Also in the other verse in Surah Al-Furqan chapter 25 verse 31, وَكَذَلِكَ جَعَلْنَا لِكُلِّ نَبِيٍّ عَدُوًّا مِنَ الْمُجْرِمِينَ وَكَفَى بِرَبِّكَ هَادِيًا وَنَصِيرًا. Chapter 25 verse 31. And thus we have made for every prophet an enemy among the mujrimeen, the disbelievers, the polytheists, the criminals, etc. But sufficient is your Lord as a guide and helper. Then he went on explaining. It is such because when truth is denied and opposed with misconcepts, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will establish for it that who will bring forth the truth and nullify falsehood with clear proofs, that will prevail. Very clear evidences and proofs that will nullify opposing from weak evidences. Take for example the Quran. When the mushriks denied the Quran, they exerted the effort to nullify it by every means. Yet we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala challenged them to bring the like of it. Not only that, challenged them to bring 10 chapters. Then with one single chapter he challenged them, which indicates those people of sound reasoning amongst them were unable to oppose the Quran. Yet, despite the efforts that they exerted, had they followed the Quran without any opposition and without any insistence to nullify it, then لم يظهر عجزهم, their incapacity would not have been made apparent. And in that way, the evidence is established perfectly against them. And similarly, the magicians, when they opposed Musa alayhi salam, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala nullified that which they brought from magic, this matter was a way to make that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala through this matter made it clear that what Musa brought was the truth. And this is from the distinctive matters between the signs that the prophets bring and their proofs, and which are called miracles, and compared with that which is extraordinary matters done by the magicians and the like from the devils. Between the two matters there are distinctive and many and various distinctions, some of which Allah had mentioned in His saying, هَلْ أُنَبِّئُكُمْ عَلَى مَنْ تَنَزَّلُ الشَّيَاطِينَ تَنَزَّلُ عَلَى كُلِّ أَفَّاكٍ أَثِيمٍ. In Surah Al-Shu'ara, verses 221 and 222. Surah Al-Shu'ara, which is chapter 26. Chapter 26, verse 221 and 222. Shall I inform you, O people, upon whom the devils descend? They descend on every lying one who tells lies, sinful person. So these extraordinary matters that the magicians did with the help of the shayateen who descend upon them were of no avail. They were nullified by the miracles brought forth by the messengers, in this respect Musa alayhi salam. And also from this, the signs of challenge, meaning that the signs brought forth by the messengers alayhi salam cannot be opposed by the like. No one can nullify. In contrast with the case of the extraordinary matters done by the magicians and by the shayateen and the devils, they can be opposed by something like it or even stronger than it, and it could be nullified. And then Shaykh al-Islam said, and similarly the rest of the enemies of the prophets, from the mujrimun, from the mujrimeen, from the disbelievers of shayateen al-ins wal-jinn, from the devils of mankind and jinn, who inspire one another with adorned speech as a delusion or by way of deception. If they bring forth their proofs for their religion, which is in opposition to the religion of the messengers, and deceive others in that which they put together by way of deception from textual and intellectual proofs, which they claim, that in itself will be a means for the prevalence of iman, of faith, that which Allah promised to make it prevailing over all religion with proofs and evidences, and then with the power, with the sword and the yad and the hand. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 25, verse 25. Chapter Al-Hadid, which is 57, and this will be verse 25. Allah states, لقد أرسلنا رسلنا بالبينات وأنزلنا معهم الكتاب والميزان ليقوم الناس بالقسط وأنزلنا الحديد فيه بأس شديد ومنافع للناس وليعلم الله من ينصره ورسله بالغيب إن الله قوي عزيز. Indeed, we have sent our messengers with clear proofs and revealed with them the scripture and the balance, which is justice, that mankind may keep up justice. And we brought forth also iron, wherein is mighty power in matters of war, as well as many benefits for mankind, that Allah may test who it is that will help him help his religion and his messengers in the unseen. Verily Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is almighty, all strong. Allah is almighty, all strong in that which he establishes from the verses, from the signs and the evidences, which would make the truth prevailing over falsehood, and will give precedence for guidance over misguidance, and for the right path over the wrong path, and for correction over corruption, and for truth over wrong. This is the like of which is that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala tries and tests mankind in order to distinguish the good and the evil. It is the same principle. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Imran chapter 20, chapter 3, verse 179, ما كان الله ليذر المؤمنين على ما أنتم عليه حتى يميز الخبيث من الطيب. Chapter 3 verse 179. Allah will not leave the believers in the state in which you are now until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. What Shaykh al-Islam is asserting here is that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will distinguish the truth from falsehood regarding the message of the messengers by the opponents, through the opponents. For having opponents standing, facing it, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it prevail in evidences and in proofs over all other religions. In similar way, it is the case with the distinction, the trials and tests which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala puts on mankind until He distinguishes the wicked from the good. Also, we know that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in this regard, أَلِفْ لَمْ مِيمْ حَسِبَ النَّاسُ أَنْ يُتْرَكُوا أَنْ يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ وَلَقَدْ فَتَنَّ الَّذِينَ مِنْ قَبْلِهِمْ فَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ اللَّهُ الَّذِينَ صَدَقُوا وَلَيَعْلَمَنَّ الْكَاذِبِينَ أَمْ حَسِبَ الَّذِينَ يَعْمَلُونَ السَّيِّئَاتِ أَنْ يَسْبِقُونَا سَاءَ مَا يَحْكُمُونَ. Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29, verse 1 to 4. Alif Lam Mim. Do people think that they will be left alone because they say we believe and will not be tested? And we indeed tested those who were before them. And Allah will certainly make it known the truth of those who are true, and will certainly make it known the falsehood of those who are liars. For those who do evil deeds think that they can outstrip us, meaning escaping our punishment. Evil is that which they judge. This fitna here, it means testing and trials, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states on the tongue of Musa in Surah Al-A'raf, chapter 7, verse 155. إن هي إلا فتنتك تضل بها من تشاء وتهدي من تشاء. Verily it is your fitna, meaning it's your testing and trial. تضل بها من خالف الرسل. تضل بها من تشاء. You misguide through that whomever you wish, from those, meaning from those who oppose the messengers. وَتَهْدِي مَنْ اتَّبَعَهُمْ وَتَهْدِي مَنْ تَشَاءُ, and you guide through that whom you wishes, meaning from those who follow the messengers. It is only your trial by which you lead astray whom you will and keep guiding whom you will. You are our wali, to the end of the verse, our protector, so forgive us and have mercy on us, for you are the best of those who forgive. This fitna, this trial, is like the trial testing the gold. When it enters the core for the testing, for to be tested in the fire, there it will be distinguished, the good from the bad. So the truth is like the pure gold. The more you test it, the more it will increase in quality. And batil, falsehood, is like the fraudly illuminating. If you test it, its falsehood will appear, will become evident. And such the deen, the true religion, the more it is examined, the more it's defended, then its proofs will be more apparent. And certainty regarding it will intensify and will be greater. And the belief of the believers in it will also increase. And its light will illuminate the chests in the world. However, the false religion, if it is defended by the one who argues for it and tries to correct it upright when it's inclined, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bring forth someone who will send down the truth against the falsehood. So it destroys it. As Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states in Surah Al-Zumar regarding the Quran, which is the proof, may we send down the truth, meaning this Quran, against the falsehood, disbelief, so that it destroys it, and behold. And it will show that this defender is a liar, and it will expose his corruption and falsehood, like the creeds of, I will write down this one now and then start explaining one by one, like the creeds in these false religions, like the creeds of Hulul, and Ittihad. What are these? Al-Hulul means the unity of two bodies. This is the meaning of Hulul, unity of two bodies, such that if you point to one of them, you will be pointing to the other. This is the meaning of Hulul in terms of its definition. Another definition for it is as well, like one of the two bodies is a dwelling place for the other, just like the dwelling of water in a cup. This is the meaning of Hulul in its two definitions, and it's two types, rather, two classes. Now comes the false creed of Hulul. The creed of Hulul, therefore, This is from the most distinguished creed of the extreme mystic Sufis and of the extreme Shia as well. And this is gained from the Christians who said of the Hulul of Allah in the body of Jesus. And in the famous book by Al-Baghdadi, in his book Al-Farq Bayn Al-Firq, the distinction between the sects, he mentioned that the Hulul, the Hululiyya, the creed of Hulul, is held by 10 sects. Objective of these sects and of this creed is to corrupt the creed of Tawheed, of oneness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and His uniqueness. And then he counted many of their names. But what's important to us here is to go for the concept now. And now we know that this represents one of the creeds of mystic Sufis and the extremes of Shia as well. And that this is gained or taken from the Christian creeds. So this is Hulul. What about Ittihad? What about Ittihad? Yes, the Hulul of Allah in the Christian creed, as you know, in the body of Jesus. In the body of Jesus. Concerning Al-Ittihad, what does it mean? Ittihad is the creed of unity of existence. Ittihad means creed of unity of existence, aqidatu wahdat al-wujud, and this is also from the well-known creeds of the extreme Sufis, and they differ as to its conceptualization. Some of them see that Allah is a spirit and that the world is a body for that spirit, and thus Allah is everything to this group. This is the meaning Ittihad, unification, literally unification, but in terms of the meaning it means the, as to the creeds, it refers to the creed of unity of existence, and this is from the most distinguished creeds of the Sufis, especially the extremes of them, and they differ as in terms of its conceptualization into two groups. The first group see that Allah is a spirit and that the whole world is a body for that spirit, and therefore Allah is everything to them. Allah kullu shay'in to them. Far Allah is removed from what they utter. The other group see that everything existing, there is no reality for its existence except the existence of Allah. So, and thus, everything is Allah. See the other view? Everything is Allah. تعالى الله عن قولهم. Allah is far removed from what they say. And these concepts originated from the infamous Sufis by the name of Ibn al-Farid, and by the other one whose name is Ibn Arabi. Okay, so this is the creed of Hulul and Ittihad. Now, alaykum as-salam wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. And then also Al-Ilhad. The third matter is Ilhad. These false concepts and creeds, Ilhad. And Ilhad means Al-Kufru Billah, denying Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and denying the resurrection, and denying the fire, denying the paradise, and allocating this life entirely for, allocating one's life entirely for this life. And then Shaykh al-Islam continued also describing, saying, وَالْكُفْرُ وَالْضَلَالِ, and disbelief and misguidance and ignorance. So that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will expose all of these corrupt beliefs in order that which are not known well by most of the slaves of Allah, so that they will give heed and wake up, so that they will be distinguishing the truth from falsehood, and that they live with knowledge and faith. Those who had dead hearts, who don't know the goodness of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bestowed His favors upon, from the prophets and the righteous and the martyrs, and who, the one who doesn't deny the wrongdoings of those whom Allah's wrath is upon, and those who are misguided, so that they come to know that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala revealed from the creeds and wrongdoings of the Jews and the Christians in His book, like their denial of the truth when it was in contrast to their desires, and disdainfulness from accepting it, envying its people, transgressing against them, following the path of misery and hard hearts, and attributing to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala the defects of the creatures, attributing that to Allah, and denying what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala had described Himself from the perfect attributes that are special to Him, that has no resemblance with the creatures, unlike the exaggeration in the prophets and the righteous, and committing shirk in worship, and saying the creeds, uttering the creeds of Hulul and Ittihad. Now I have to, after explaining them, I have to go right away and then just mention Hulul and Ittihad. And if you have any question regarding them, I can repeat. And their sayings of Hulul and Ittihad, which makes the slave who is created the lord of the slaves, and deviating in the legislations away from the legislations of the prophets and the messengers, following desires and experiences without following the knowledge that Allah brought down in His book, the clear book. And in them, they're taking their scholars and worshippers as lords besides Allah, following them in that which they invented in the deen, in opposition to the way of the messengers, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala states, اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله والمسيح ابن مريم وما أمروا إلا ليعبدوا إلها واحدا لا إله إلا هو سبحانه عما يشركون. As in Surah At-Tawbah, please. Surah 9, chapter 9, verse 31. Chapter 9, verse 31. اتخذوا أحبارهم ورهبانهم أربابا من دون الله. سورة التوبة verse 31. They, the Jews and the Christians, took their rabbis and their monks to be their lords besides Allah by obeying them in things which they made lawful or unlawful to them, according to their desires without being ordered by Allah. And they also took as their Lord the Messiah, son of Mary, Jesus, while they, the Jews and the Christians, were commanded in the Torah and in their books to worship none but Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. None has the right to be worshipped but Him. Glorified Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is above what they attribute as partners besides Him, or what they associate with Him. In addition to many of the bid'ah and ways of misguidance in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala dispraised the people of the book regarding it, and in which He subhanahu wa ta'ala warned this ummah to avoid, and He made the example of the Jews and the Christians as a lesson for those who contemplate. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam indeed had informed us that it's inevitable that some part of this ummah would fall in the same things that the Jews and the Christians had fallen in. Although He sallallahu alaihi wasallam made it clear that there remains and continue to remain in His ummah a group on the truth, not harmed by those who oppose them, nor by those who betray them, until the hour is established, and that His ummah does not unite on misguidance, and that it will not be overwhelmed, annihilated by other nations. That this group will continue victorious, following its Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. But He informed that it's inevitable that amongst this ummah there will be those who will seek the ways of the Jews and the Christians and follow them, and the Romans and the Magicians and the Magians, as it is reported in Al-Bukhari and others. From the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam He said, "You shall follow, or you will follow the practices, the ways of those before you, exactly like feather of an arrow next to its feather, until if they enter the hole of a desert lizard, you will enter it." They said, "Ya Rasulullah, al-Yahud wal-Nasara?" They explained, asking the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, "Do you mean the Jews and the Christians?" He said, "Who else?" And also in the Al-Bukhari and Muslim, from the other hadith of Abi Sa'id al-Khudri, that the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "You shall follow the practices of your predecessors, inch by inch, yard by yard, so much so that if they were to enter a lizard's hole, you would also follow them." When he was asked if he meant the Jews and the Christians, he replied, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, "If not them, who else? If not them, who else?" And in those who claim to be Muslims, there are the hypocrites, and they are in the lowest of the fire of hell, below the level of the Jews and the Christians. And therefore, that which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala displays the Jews and the Christians regarding their deviations could be present in the hypocrites who associate themselves with Islam, who openly show faith in all the messengers, yet rather they hide secretly the opposite. Just like the Batinis, Batini means the esoteric groups and the esoteric beliefs, the way of kufr, of disbelief. Also, this is present, meaning the ways of the Jews and the Christians, amongst some of the people of innovation in this ummah. Those who attest to the general messengership of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam openly and inwardly, yet they are confused regarding that which the Christians and the Jews were confused about, and thus they followed the mutashabih wa taraku al-muhkam, and thus they followed that which is not so clear from the verses, and they abandoned the ones that are completely clear. Like in this ummah, the sect of Al-Khawarij, the dissidents, and others from the people of Ahwa, people of lowly desires. And the beliefs of the Christians regarding Allah's attributes and His union with the creation, this misguidance is being shared by many of the ummah, from the innovators of this ummah. Even there is sharing from the creeds of the Malahida, the people of Ilhad, who are at a worse of misguidance, worse than the misguidance of the Christians. Then the Shaykh rahimahullah clarified that Hulul and Ittihad are two types, general and specific. The general one is like the saying, those who say that Allah in His essence is dwelling in every place, or that His existence is the essence of existence of all creation. This is the general Hulul and Ittihad. And then he said the particular one, or the specific one, is that like those who say that this Hulul and Ittihad occurs in some of the family of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Ali and others, like Ali ibn Abi Talib and others. And from this type is the Nuzairite sect. I will write the name. Nusayrite sect, Nusayriya. Has anybody heard of this sect? Has anybody heard of this sect? Okay, mashallah. Tayyib. Okay, we'll explain what this. The correct saying regarding their... That's right, Burash. the correct saying regarding who are they, is that they are related to a person by the name of Muhammad bin Nusayr al-Numayri al-Abidi. I'll write his name. And he was from the Shia and from the known people of the city of Basra. He declared himself in the year 245 after Hijrah to be the door for the 10th Imam of the Shia. This Nusayrite sect is an extreme Shia sect whose creed is in total opposition to Islam. Rather, they had done very harmful thing to Muslims. They were supported by the French when the French were occupying Syria, and they made them prevail in many positions, especially in the army, and they were in assistance to the French, enabling them to achieve many of their objectives. And from their creeds are the following. They attribute divinity to Ali ibn Abi Talib. They attribute divinity to Ali ibn Abi Talib. they have made wine permissible, they deny the resurrection, they deny the paradise and the fire of hell, and they say that the universe is eternal. They believe in transmigration. And Salah, the prayer with them is, it means five names, the mentioning of five names: Ali, Al-Hasan, Al-Husayn, Muhsin, and Fatima. They glorify the person known by Ibn Muljim, who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, a dissident who killed Ali ibn Abi Talib, may Allah be pleased with him. They glorify him. Why do they glorify him? Because they claim that he had delivered, through this process of killing, that he had delivered the spirit, the divine spirit, from the human spirit. They share the celebrations with the Christians in their celebrations, particularly Christmas and the Cross Day, and also they establish other festivities like the known Shia festivity, which is called Eid al-Furs, the celebration of the Persian, which is Eid al-Nairuz, Eid al-Nairuz, or the Eid al-Rabi', the festivity, the spring festivity. And from their infamous men is the person called Salman al-Murshid. This Salman al-Murshid claimed lordship, and he was hanged in Damascus in the year 1950. This is a Batini esoteric sect. This is an esoteric sect which Sheikh al-Islam now is giving as an example of this particular ittihad and dwelling which we explained earlier, that those who claimed that such dwelling or ittihad exists with some sects, and he named now Al-Nusayriya and the like, or those who claim that they belong to the family of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, to the house of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, like Al-Hakim Al-Ubaydi in Egypt, and others from the Druze sect, like Al-Hakim. One should know this name really well, because there are a lot of things related to his creed which will appear with us in the course of discussions, inshallah. Al-Hakim, his name, his full name is Mansur. Bin Nizar Al-Ubaydi, who is known as Al-Hakim by the command of Allah. This is the third leader of the Fatimid rule in Egypt, originally coming from Morocco. He ruled in the year 386 after Hijra. He was very much interested in philosophy and astrology, and it was proclaimed that he is divine in the year 407. By a proclaimer from Persia by the name of Hamza bin Ali. And when this Al-Hakim was killed in the year 411 after Hijra, this person, Hamza, declared that he went out of sight so that he would appear a second time. The Ismailite and Druze sect. The Ismailite sect exists nowadays mainly in India and also Persia. As I said, I will talk about that inshallah. But at any rate, let's go. The Ismailite, two of extreme Shia sects. The Ismailites exist in Yemen, in India. They have given divinity to one in India now, and in some areas of Persia, and also in South Arabia here, by the borders with Yemen. So the Ismailites and the Druze believe in Al-Hakim as divine, and they believe that of his coming again. Imam Al-Dhahabi, rahimahullah, the great muhaddith and scholar of Islam, described Al-Hakim as shaitan, wicked, and he killed many, many people. Then Shaykh al-Islam mentioned also those from the Druze. And who are the Druze? Yes, there are some in Africa, that's right. And from the Ismailites, there is a family that is, they have a special organization in Pakistan and in the subcontinent there, who belong to the Ismailite. Not all of them, but majority of them under this family of, they have a special, you know, club. It's what's called Khan family. The Druze, this is an extreme group from the Ismailites, who are also from the extreme Shia. It appeared in the 5th century after Hijrah in Egypt, and it is mostly known for its esoteric beliefs. They claim that they relate to two men. One of these two men, yes, Prince. One of these two men is Muhammad bin Ismail al-Darazi, who himself called, who attributed divinity to this Al-Hakim that I talked to you about. And the other that they relate to is Mansur al-Durzi, and he was one of the leaders of Al-Hakim, one of his assistant leaders. Now they are present in Syria, Lebanon, north of Palestine, and in Morocco. Their creed is derived from the Ismailite sect, and it is built upon two matters. In Syria, in Lebanon, in North Palestine, and in Morocco. This is where they center. All have based their creed upon two things. Look at this. This is very common amongst the esoteric sects. Zahir and Batin. Hidden or esoteric. Meaning, everything to them has a zahir and a batin. Well, roughly speaking, all together would almost count to 10% then. So, for example, let us see how they interpret things according to their open and hidden understandings. So they say a salah, prayer, it means the direction of the heart for the imam only. Siyam, fasting. What does fasting mean to them? It means not to unravel the secrets of their call. This is Siyam. Hajj, pilgrimage. What does it mean? It means visiting their imam and so forth. Then Shaykh al-Imsanam, rahimahullah, mentioned further another sect, and this is called Al-Hallajiyya. In reference to their Shaykh, in reference to their Shaykh Al-Hallaj, he is from Persia originally, but he grew up in Iraq. Then he moved to Basra in Iraq, where he claimed divinity. No, this is not the Sheikh of the Rus. This is very much glorified by the Sufis, Al-Hallaj. Al-Husayn bin Mansur Al-Hallaj, his name. Al-Husayn bin Mansur Al-Hallaj. So he grew up in Iraq, and then he moved to Al-Basra. To Al-Basra, it's a known city in Iraq, as you know. And there he idda'a al-hulul. Idda'a al-hulul. He claimed al-hulul, meaning a dwelling of God in him, of Allah in him. So he was seized by the ruler, the Muslim ruler of Iraq then, and then he referred his matter to the scholars, who declared that he should be killed, and that was executed in the year 309. His companions, his friends, claimed that he was not killed. So his friends, they don't believe that he was killed. Yes, yes indeed. Rather they say that the like of whom was casted upon an enemy of his, and his enemy was killed. Subhanallah. So then Shaykh al-Islam then continued by saying, therefore anyone who says that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala حَلَّ أَوْ اتَّحَدَ بِأَحَدٍ مِّنَ الصَّحَابَةِ, that Allah dwelled or united with any of the companions, or the shayukh, or the relatives, meaning of the Prophet صلى الله عليه وسلم, then from this angle he is أَكْفَر مِّنَ النَّصَارَى, he is worse than the Nasara in their kufr, in their disbelief. The Nasara who believed in Al-Attihad and Al-Hulul in Jesus, as you know. Why? Because Isa alayhi salam is better than all of these people who are uttering these words. Because Isa alayhi salam is better than all of them. Because Isa is a prophet. And anyone who says and believes in the general Hulul and Ittihad, then his estray is far more in its extent than the destraying of the Christians. The point that Shaykh al-Islam now is making is فَبِمَعْرِفَةْ حَقِيقْ دِينِ النَّصَارَى, حَقِيقْ دِينِ النَّصَارَى, so knowing the reality, knowing the reality of the religion of the Christians and its falsehood, one will be able to know the same as to that which resembles the Christian sayings or beliefs, like the beliefs of those of deviation and innovation. So when the light of Iman of faith and the Quran comes, then it will dispel and prevail and nullify falsehood, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala stated, وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. May we, this is in Surah Al-Isra, chapter 17, verse 81, please. May you please just briefly explain the Hulul and Ittihad, can you try it please, so people can understand what many Sufi believe in, or at least the measure. Yes, okay, I did explain it, but apparently you came after that. Inshallah, I'll go over that. Let's have this last verse here, where I'm going to stop now, inshallah. Yes, indeed, inshallah, I will do that, inshallah. Let's have verse 17, verse 81. وَقُلْ جَاءَ الْحَقُّ وَزَهَقَ الْبَاطِلِ إِنَّ الْبَاطِلَ كَانَ زَهُوقًا. And say the truth of Islam, Quran, and the striving against the polytheists with proofs and with in the battlefield as well, has come. And batil, falsehood, meaning Satan, the devils, men, mankind and jinn, and the mushriks, and batil has vanished. Surely batil is ever bound to vanish. Okay, now here we stop, inshallah. And then in the next, inshallah, talk, Sheikh al-Islam will tell us, why did he write his book? Why did he write his book? And then that will be the beginning of refuting the book that one of the priests had written. The details of which, inshallah, will come in the next talk, inshallah. I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bring that forth and to enable us to give this book the true right it deserves from us, the attention and the relation to you in the way that will be most beneficial by the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen. Sallallahu ala Muhammadin wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam.